But right now, we waste no time in getting to our NHL insider. Where are you on hugs, Elliot? Are you all right with hugs? Because Rhett hates them.
Depends on who's giving them.
Well, Boomer. If you saw Boomer, you're going to give him a hug?
It.
Come here. Elliot, come on.
Very anti-hug.
Oh.
Barrel be creeping in on you.
The Montreal Canadiens head into their five-day break, and mood is not good. The spirits are not high. What's your assessment on what's happening with Montreal, because they're now 1-5-1 in their last seven?
Well, the goalie isn't right. He's taking the team down with them is the best thing that I could probably say. Carey Price just isn't Carey Price, and the team is going sideways with him. And until he gets sorted out, it's tough to see that team going in the right direction, because while Al Montoya is a good backup, I don't know if how comfortable you'd feel about giving him a long run as the number one guy.
And it's funny, because we saw this last year, we wouldn't be shocked, but it felt like this was a better team. Some of the younger players were coming of age, and you add Radulov, who's been very good for them, Pacioretty, another 30-goal season, but I guess it still comes down to that, doesn't it?
Yeah, Radulov has played really well. He's been one of the best offseason signings in the league. And, Pacioretty's actually been really good. Last week in Arizona, they played a game where maybe it was the best game I've ever seen Pacioretty play. But around them, it just seems to be falling apart. And, Price, it's weird. He looks shell-shocked. He's always very confident. He gives an air that he always kind of seems to know what's going on, good or bad. He understands how to fix things, and that's completely gone right now. He can't seem to recover. You can tell that, he's off. And, it's the five-day break. I'm curious to see if he spends it on the ice just tinkering on his game because he needs it right now.
You think? Or is it better to get away from it?
I think I can see the logic for both. I really do, Rhett, but maybe he takes a couple of days and goes away. But I'm a big believer when you're struggling, especially as a goalie. Patrick Waugh, and I always listen to Waugh, his work ethic was pretty legendary. And if he was struggling like this, he'd be on the ice the next day, maybe even without pucks, just going over his moves. And, maybe you give Carey a couple of days to go away, but I think you have to come back and you have to, break yourself down and build yourself back up.
Bill Belichick.
That kind of deal.
Never a day off.
No days off.
No days off.
Yeah, no days off. Now this,
and now he's trademarking that.
Oh, that's great. This is obviously, I don't know if Boston would ever give Montreal permission, but how much does the availability, so to speak, of Claude Julien, how's that affecting the fires that burn in Montreal right now?
It's a great question, and I can't give you an answer aside to say that I do think it changes the dynamic.
Yeah.
I mean, Mark Bergevin is very, very careful. Last year he lost control of the PK Subban situation, and it's made him become, for lack of a better term, a bit of a hermit. He doesn't give away very much. He's very careful about what he says and who he talks to, and he very rarely talks to the media anymore. He's been very loyal to Therrien. I think a lot of us wondered last year if Therrien was going to get fired. He didn't, obviously. He stayed with him, and it looked to be the right move this year. I think the best answer I can give you, Dean, is that it changes the dynamic.
Yeah.
You understand that if you're going to be a coach of the Montreal Canadiens or they're going to hire someone, there's a certain list of qualifications that coach needs to have, including a knowledge of French. And I can't, I'd be lying or I'd be guessing if I was to say that I think Claude Julien's taken over for Michel Therrien. But what I would feel comfortable in saying is that, Claude Julien's availability makes the situation a bit more tenuous than it was before.
We saw the Bruins after a Saturday game. They didn't change their coach till Tuesday, which is Patriots Parade Day. There is a 5-day break here. Do you get the sense something happens, or are these two, the GM and the coach, going to get to the end of the year together?
Well, Ryan, again, it's put it this way, nothing would surprise me because, you know, I think Tarion is a I think Julian's a great coach. One, but on the other hand, I think Bergevin is very loyal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can't tell you what Bergevin is thinking because he doesn't tell anybody right now, at least nobody who's been able to relay it to me. So it's purely a guess. But the one thing I do think is, you know, I'm much more confident in telling you that I think he's trying to make a trade than I am telling you he's going to make a coaching change. I definitely think he's got his hands in a lot of things. I think he is prepared to make a move to help his team. You know, everybody's well aware that Joe Sakic was at the game last night between Montreal and Boston. And both those teams have talked to Sakic about players there. I just think that he's got to have something going on. And I wouldn't be surprised if we came back in 5 days and something about his team was different. If it's the coach or it's the roster, I can't tell you.
Elliot Freeman, our NHL insider. I want to ask you about the LA Kings. They are set to get Jonathan Quick back within the next, you know, short term. And you immediately think, well, that's going to make them better. That's going to make things very tough for Calgary. They've not had bad goaltending. Peter Budaj, tied with Holtby for the league lead in shutouts. They have near the bottom in terms of goals against. But what are we going to see here with LA? Because it's a team that the Flames are going to be dealing with a lot.
You know, I was talking to a couple of the players there. You know, they don't think a lot's going to happen with them. There's not a lot of flexibility, especially since, as you mentioned, Quick is coming back. But you know, I think they've looked around. You know, there's no question. I think they've looked at the idea of getting more offense. I don't think they're very happy with Gabrick, but they don't have a lot of flexibility there. You know, if they want to make a move, somebody's got to go. And, you know, we've talked about a young defense when they have Paul Ledoux, who they're pretty excited about. He made his NHL debut last week. You know, I think a couple teams have looked at him. There's some debate about, you know, whether or not he's really available. You know, I don't know what to make of him. I think they're content to go with what they have, but I think they'd like to add something. I'm just not sure they're going to be able to.
This goes without saying, but I mean, the next week and a half to the deadline is going to tell us a lot. Do you feel like, because Rhett asked this morning, do you look at Winnipeg and think they've now really become sellers? There's, what, six back of a wild card, well back in their division.
Dallas is
in the same boat.
Well, Dallas, I think you got to think after yesterday, they have a 3-0 lead and they lose the game.
Yeah.
That it's time. And, you know, I think the interesting thing about Dallas is I do think Dallas has pieces that teams are going to want. You know, Patrick Eaves is making $1 million, and what has he got, 19 goals? Like, people will be throwing themselves at that, I think.
Do you think that, I mean, we all knew going in, I don't know what you were going to do with those two goaltenders, but you know bringing them back, it's going to be bad. This is a team that, did they not win the West last year?
Yeah, it's been amazing, you know, what's happened there. The goaltending has fallen apart, that's number one. You know, they've got a really young defense, and it's not there yet. That's number two. And the other thing, too, is this one I didn't see coming, Red, but, you know, a couple other teams pointed it out. They lost two guys, Janmark and Hemsky, and Hemsky's coming back. And teams told me they were slow. And the worst thing you can be in this league right now is slow.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all of that kind of adds up. So I think that, you know, they got Eaves, who's got making $1 million. Like I said, I think he's got 19 goals. They got Johnny Oduya, who a lot of, you know, teams like Johnny Oduya. They got Patrick Sharp. And, you know, if Hemsky's coming back, you know, he's another name that he could be available to. I think Dallas is a team that could knock loose the trade market. I really do. Because they've got those UFAs to be, and Jim Neal's not going to be afraid to move them, and I think we're getting there right now. You know, Winnipeg, I agree. I think in the West now, it's pretty much you see what you're going to get. It's going to be you guys. It's going to be the Kings. It's going to be St. Louis. It's going to be Nashville fighting, you know, and one of those teams is going to miss out. Winnipeg, I'd heard that they were looking for like a short-term defenseman with Myers hurt just to get them through. And now a couple teams were saying they're not sure Winnipeg is going to do that because, as you said, they might be out. I mean, the East is still rammed tight. The West, I think you're looking at it now and you're saying we're seeing the separation. We know who it's going to be with one team of the ones that are still there that's going to miss the dance.
It's funny you mention just one game, right? Last night, Dallas, a crushing loss. Not just the loss and the lack of 2 points, but the fashion in which they did it. It can turn so quickly, can it?
Yeah, it was funny. I was talking when I was making my phone calls on Friday, Saturday. One of the general managers said to me, "How long do you think?" Because I think he's looking at some of their players. He goes, "How long do you think Dallas hangs in there?" And I said they were in Toronto last week, and the sense I got was they were getting close, but they realized their time's almost up. And yesterday he texted me after it was over and says, "Time's got to be up." And I think that's what, people think, although it's ultimately it's Jim Neal's decision on when he's going to do it. You know, you mentioned Julian. I'm wondering about all this. Like, Bill Foley, the owner of Vegas, kind of threw a bit of cold water in an interview with one of the local reporters about Julian in Vegas. He kind of seemed to, reading between the lines, he almost looked at it like, "I'm not sure if it makes sense for us to spend the kind of money it's going to cost us to get Claude Julian at the stage of where we're going to be." But I do think somebody is going to say, "We want this guy and we're going to make a preemptive strike." But I just don't know who that's going to be.
I look
at Dallas and I wonder if they're the team too.
Wow.
But I don't know. Like, I'm just guessing. I think somebody is going to take a run at him to make sure they get him. But I can't say who it's going to be.
Sabres have dropped 6 of 9. Hurricanes 7 of 10 and 9 of 11 for the Wings in losses. When do those three teams start shedding parts?
Well, I think with Detroit, they've basically said, look, they're not adding anything. They just have to decide if they're going to stand pat or they're going to make a deal. But, look, they've lost Erickson for pretty much all the regular season. Nyquist looks like he's going to get spanked pretty good here. I think Detroit sees, the writing on the wall. Carolina, to me, Carolina, like, they're still a team that's building. To me, the biggest question is, are they in on Duchesne? Like, they are a team that can make this work. They've watched Colorado a lot. I haven't spoken to Joe Nieuwendyk, but I've heard he's been in Denver quite a bit this year to watch those guys play. To me, Carolina is a team that is in that conversation. I just don't know how far. Who's the only one you asked about? New Jersey?
I said Buffalo, but yeah. New Jersey's there too.
Buffalo.
Yeah.
Like, again, Buffalo, I saw they were here on Saturday. Brian Gionta, he said to me that he has told the Sabres that he wants to stay. He's got a list of 5 teams he can be traded to, but he's told them he wants to stay. Kulikov, he's had a weird year. He says he's finally healthy. I could see him going somewhere if the Sabres decide they don't want to sign him. But to me, the big one's Tampa Bay. And Nick mentioned this on Saturday night. I think there's a lot of activity around Brian Boyle. I think there's a lot of teams looking at him. I think Edmonton is. I think Toronto is. I think there's some other teams that could be too. He's, I believe, an unrestricted free agent after this year, and he's a competitive guy. A lot of teams like Boyle. They think that he'll be a seamless fit into your dressing room. I think teams are waiting to see what Steve Yzerman's going to do because I think there's a lot of interest there.
It's funny. We talked about Boyle maybe after the Flames played the Lightning to see his how his game has changed. He's become not just a very certain. I mean, he's a valuable.
He controlled the game here.
Yeah,
he was the best player on the ice.
Just so he's big and he's smart, and I agree with you. I think he's one of those guys that would fit into your room. It's just talking to some guys that know him.
It's interesting. Nick said that some teams weren't willing to give up a first rounder for Boyle. I wonder if that changes. There's a one executive. Whenever we say that, will teams be willing to give up first rounders? If he's watching, he'll text us and he'll say, "Would you guys just bleep and realize that the first round stinks this year, and somebody's going to give up their first rounder?" So, and he did it again on Saturday night, and I was laughing. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Tampa gets one for him. I think the tough thing, though, is Edmonton's in a tough spot there because they don't have their second rounder this year. They have to give it to Boston for Chiarelli. I think it's the last of all the compensation picks.
Right.
So I think Edmonton's looking at this like, they want to either get a second rounder back or they don't want to be without a pick in the first two rounds. So I think it's a bit of a tough spot for them.
Before we let you go, anything else that's cooking?
Obviously Sakic's situation being there in Boston last night, and it was kind of funny. The Maple Leafs had a charity event last night. They had their 100th anniversary dinner. It was a really nice event. It was like all the reporters, they were so funny. And I laughed because if I was there, I would have been doing the same thing. Like, it was basically like they had a homing beacon on Joe Sakic. Who's he talking to now? I really think this week, Montreal, Mark Bergevin has some decisions to make. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's the big newsmaker this week.
Yeah. We sure hear a lot about Duchesne there, too, right?
Yeah, there's no question they're in on that. I mean, it's funny, and, Nick had a really good week in terms of just information. He mentioned Pittsburgh, and, it wouldn't surprise me. I talked to Jim Rutherford on Friday, and the one thing I said to him was, what do you think? Like, would you be able to acquire anyone with term? And he said to me, I would do anything to win, and if I have to deal with it in the summer, I'll deal with it in the summer. So I if you look at their roster, Patrick Hornqvist is one more year. Marc-Andre Fleury, one way or the other, won't be back there next year. And the question is, when are they going to pull the trigger? I think there's some teams who've checked in on Duchesne that we really haven't looked at.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Pittsburgh's one of them. As one GM said to me yesterday, or on Saturday, when good players become available, and those guys in Colorado, Duchesne and Landeskog in particular, are good players, everybody checks in. And, I think that you sit there as an organization and you say, it's hard to get these kinds of guys. So you owe it to yourself to sit there and say, okay, how am I going to get this player? And he thinks the market for Duchesne and Landeskog is a lot deeper than we've really looked at. So, that kind of tells us where we are.
Yeah, and it's funny with Pittsburgh, Washington looks like they're in great shape, but this is an opportunity to perhaps have a legit shot at going back-to-back, which, usually we're talking about teams missing the playoffs after they win, not having a second round.
Yep. I agree. It's going to be that Metropolitan Division playoffs, man. That's going to be killer.
Yeah. No kidding. Hey, take care of yourself. We'll talk to you on Friday. Thanks.
All right, boys. When does Calgary play again?
Tonight? You
guys have a game sometime next century?
Yeah. Coyotes tonight.
Tonight against the...
That's right. The break is over, so it's tonight. Okay.
Yeah.
Enjoy seeing a hockey game again.
We will. Thanks, Elliot.
All right, guys. Take care.